Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Thanks so much for being with us, everybody. Happy Monday to you. Coming up in 20 minutes, Jeff Schwartz is going to join us. Veteran, former offensive lineman in the NFL. You see him on NFL Network. Hear him on Sirius XM. You see him all over the place on social media as well. Jeff Schwartz is going to be joining us to talk about week 11 of the NFL coming up here in 20 minutes from now. And in 40 minutes, Momentous Monday, an inspirational story from the world of sports. And if you caught this over the weekend, boy, it was a tearjerker, but awesome. ESPN did a profile on our friend Little Mo and his cardboard cutouts all around M&T Bank Stadium, home of the Ravens, and his love of the Ravens. It was phenomenal. It left me, obviously, a little watery-eyed, but it was really, really well done. If you missed that, it aired on the pregame show for ESPN's NFL coverage yesterday. If you missed it, I tweeted out the entirety of the video of the entire segment. It was really well done. So you can check that out by checking out my Twitter, DA on CBS. That was yesterday morning that I tweeted that out. So just scroll back a little bit in my timeline. You'll be able to find that entire video there so you can watch it. It's about 6 minutes long, and it is really worth your time. Also, the NFL Network is going to do a profile. Melissa Stark did so on this upcoming week's NFL game as the Ravens will take on the Steelers on Thanksgiving night. And so on Tuesday evening, Melissa Stark on NFL 360 is going to also profile Little Mo, which is just awesome. And he is the inspiration behind a Momentous Monday. So we'll do that coming up here toward the end of the hour. Final note on last hour, we were talking about that Colts win over the Packers. Two things that stuck out to me for the Colts. Number one, an offense that isn't really built for quick strikes and comebacks came back from down 14 points to win. Number two, a coaching staff was able to outfox the opposing coaching staff at halftime and completely shut down the Packers' offense in the third and fourth quarters, as the Packers had scored 28 points in the first and only three in the second half. So a great job by Frank Reich and that coaching staff. I think that proved that the Colts can be a difficult team to play against if they win that division. If they get to January, right now they are leading the AFC South. They're battling it out with the Tennessee Titans. But I think that a win like yesterday in comeback fashion, the adjustments that they made at halftime, does give you some confidence that the Colts could be a tough go at it in January. Mraz, what did you learn from the Colts' win yesterday over the Packers?
That if Phillip Rivers doesn't turn the ball over and can manage it, this is probably the best defense that Phillip Rivers has actually had and that the Colts defense can make adjustments even if they feel like they're getting pounded in the first half by a great offense. And for the Colts to navigate any way through this postseason, it's going to have to be to slow great offenses down like the Steelers and the Chiefs. And I think I'm a little more believer in the Colts today that they can make a playoff game versus big teams interesting than I was yesterday.
But the Colts defense didn't look like that in the first half.
They didn't, but
Rodgers and the Packers go up and down the field on them.
But I think that's what was telling. They didn't allow themselves just to get punched in the mouth and then roll down and have this become a shootout where Phillip Rivers absolutely had to do the job. They made serious halftime adjustments and stifled the Packer offense a little bit there, and it wasn't for a huge bomb down the field to Valdez-Scantling. There wouldn't really have been any damage in the second half at all from the Green Bay Packers. So I think adjusting and knowing that you're not having your best game in your first half, I mean, that is so underrated because so many of these coaches just can't figure it out or teams can't figure it out. And the same story from the first half carries to the second half. And that halftime adjustment was huge momentum, and the Colts stepped up in class.
Well, and what you're saying is that you learn something from the Colts because they were down by two touchdowns. They were not able to stop Aaron Rodgers in the first half, and they were able to rally the troops, fix it, adjust, and win.
Yep.
Vice versa, I don't think the Packers would have been able to. The Packers have not shown the ability this year, if things are going poorly, to rally, reset, refocus, and get it done. They're great when things are going well. They're not great when they have to fight against adversity. And yesterday, it's like if the roles were reversed, I don't think the Packers come back and win that football game.
I completely agree. I don't think the Packers have the mental toughness that I think the Colts do. And DA, beating a team like the Packers, who we thought maybe inside track at the bye in the NFC, I think I'm ready to say it. The Colts, I think, are the third best team in football right now.
Really? You're saying that best three teams in football are all in the AFC?
Yeah, I think it's so clear that the Chiefs and Steelers are cut above everybody else. But I've seen enough now, Ravens, Titans, and the Packers, who we think probably the best team in the NFC, although I guess people make a case for the Bucs, but they've gotten swept by the Saints. I think because of how good that defense is and how they came together after their worst outing, which was that first half, and came together in the second half, and the teams they have now beaten, I think the Colts are the third best team in football right now.
I think the Saints are.
They play tomorrow. I mean, I think the Colts are going to win the game.
Well, is Drew Brees playing or is Taysom Hill?
All right, let's say it's week 16. We know what we know now, and Drew Brees is back healthy. I think I'm taking the Colts to win the game.
Yeah, I'm taking the Saints to win that game. But the Colts have proven to have this. They've got essentially what the Titans had last year. Run the football, play smash mouth defense, and if the quarterback doesn't throw you out of the game, you have a chance to stymie and beat anybody. The Colts are last year's Titans team, and maybe the Titans are figuring out a way to be last year's Titans team, but their defense isn't as good as the Colts defense. And even the Titans defense last year wasn't as good as this Colts defense is, which is why it was surprising in the first half that the Packers were able to move the football so well and score touchdowns.
Right.
But the Colts, they've got a recipe. I don't think they can beat either Pittsburgh or Kansas City in the playoffs.
I don't either, but that defense is the kind of defense that you see confuse Patrick Mahomes whenever he's had these moments where games are tight. Ultimately, the Colts are going to get eliminated in the playoffs because their defense is going to keep them in a game, and Phillip Rivers is going to throw a back-breaking interception in one of these games, and the game will be close, and that is how they will lose. And that is the one thing that still gives me pause, but I just think the defense is that good that I really believe they are the next notch right below the Chiefs and Steelers in the entire NFL.
We are headed for Browns at Colts wild card weekend.
Well, that feels like that could start off the weekend, doesn't it?
So from a Ravens perspective, let's even see if they make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because yesterday the Ravens had a chance at home to get a big statement victory, and they need it for the playoff race. There were more coming into this weekend, more 6-win teams in the AFC than any conference has ever had this late in the season, at this point of the season, rather. So that means there's a depth of quality teams in the AFC, and everybody is fighting for seeding in the AFC playoffs, and the Ravens just simply could not afford to lose yesterday to the Titans. And, of course, they did. Here's how it sounded from Baltimore.
Henry gets the carry running left. Henry to the 25. Henry to the 20. To the 15. To the 10. To the
5. Yes! Oh, yes!
Two,
yes!
Three.
Yes! Yes!
Touchdown, Titans! As the Titans will run out of Baltimore with a shocker in OT.
You know, we just had two losses in a row. Games we should have won. We had little hiccups in the game. But we still got to keep fighting through it. You know, that team, it looked like that team wanted it more than us. You know, they was playing physical. When we went up, I feel like, you know, we just took our foot off the gas, but we just got to keep it going. Yeah, you know, we got to finish drives. You know, we driving the ball down the field. You just got to stop putting tuck out there. We got to punch it in. When we get inside the red zone, the high red zone, we just got to finish.
Boy, there is something wrong with this Ravens team. That call courtesy of Mike Keith on Titans Radio. That was Lamar Jackson after the game. There's a couple of things to break down from this game. Number one, and I talked about this last week, and I talked about this on Sunday Morning Football yesterday. The Ravens had to win yesterday's game. Why? Because they had lost every measuring stick game this season. They played three games against the teams that they measure themselves against annually. That if you are going to do anything in the playoffs, you have to beat those teams. And they went 0-3 going into yesterday. The Titans were the fourth. And they lost that one too. The Ravens are 6-4. But their four losses are the four most important games of their schedule. They lost to the Chiefs, who they've lost to 3 years in a row with Lamar Jackson. They lost to the Steelers, who obviously are their arch rivals and are the best team right now in football. They lost to the Patriots, who are not a good team this year, but the Ravens and Patriots have that rivalry, have that familiarity, Harbaugh versus Belichick. They meet almost every year, and they know each other inside and out. And now last night, yesterday against the Titans. Those are the four most important games on their schedule. They lost all four of them. They went 0-4 in the big games. They're 0-4 against the teams that you would play in the playoffs. They've got a problem. There was one really good throw from Lamar Jackson yesterday. That was the touchdown to Mark Andrews, corner of the end zone. He just floats it up there, perfectly placed in there. Andrews hauls it in. It's a beautiful pass, and you go, that's Lamar Jackson. And the rest of the day was throwing a bag of tools down the stairwell. It's just there's no consistency. There's no rhythm. It feels like it's just a bunch of noise. I don't know why the Ravens offense has been this scattershot for the entire season. After last year, they just ran roughshod over everybody. But this is not a great Titans defense. And the Ravens offensively, Lamar Jackson throws for less than 200 yards. If you took that throw to Mark Andrews, that touchdown off of the board, Lamar Jackson threw for 150 yards yesterday. It was a brutal game. Credit the Titans. That's a gutty win. And the Titans are not doing any of this pretty. But they don't care. They don't have to. I mean, the direct snap to Derrick Henry over his head when you are inside the red zone, what is that? What are we doing? Trying to get too cute. Man. But when push came to shove, they got to overtime, and they scored the touchdown in overtime with Derrick Henry. And game, set, match. We're going home, and we'll take the win, and we're 7-3. And we're still right there in the AFC South for that division lead and the playoffs. Credit the Titans. That's a Titans-esque win. But man, Mraz, there is something real wrong with the Ravens because you can't keep going up against all the good teams on your schedule and lose to them all.
Yeah. And when they have leads versus them, they feel like the most mentally fragile team or good team with a lead. You know the moment they have any kind of lead, it's going to escape them. I can't have any confidence in the Ravens right now. And how do you think that after these two losses in a row, I know it's a rival to get up for and it's Thanksgiving night and all of that, the Steelers are humming along, licking their chops for this game. I don't know how you can feel confident in the Ravens on Thursday night at all now. And if they lose that now, it's three in a row. And like you pointed out, all these teams, it would be the biggest disappointment, I think, even more so than what's happened with the Eagles and Cowboys, for the Baltimore Ravens off what we saw last year to not take the next step, instead fall completely out and miss the playoffs, be the biggest disappointment in football.
They were 14-2 last year. They were 14-2 in the one seed. and they lose to this Titans team in the divisional round. Again, this is why yesterday mattered. The Ravens said it's not a revenge game. We're not thinking about the playoffs, but it's a measuring stick.
Right.
These are the teams that you have to beat that you've not proven you can beat. You've got to beat one of them. The Ravens will likely make the playoffs because they have a soft schedule in December, but they're going to be the biggest frauds going into the playoffs. They are 6-4. They'll likely lose against the Steelers in Pittsburgh on Thanksgiving night. That'll put them at 6-5. But they've got a chance to run the table the rest of the way or at least go 10-6. They play the Cowboys at home. They'll have a long week coming after Thanksgiving. They play at the Browns. I know Cleveland has won a lot of games. Great story there. We'll talk about them. But I mean, the Ravens can win that game. The Browns' offense is very limited. They play the Jaguars, the Giants, and the Bengals. Giants are plucky, obviously. Never know what could happen. But, man, the Ravens don't have to do much to go 10-6 this year. And there's the third wild card this season. So they can lose coming up on Thursday night and still go 11-5 or 10-6, make the playoffs, and they're going to be a fraud because they'll have beaten no good teams in getting to 10-6 and have lost to all of the contenders on their schedule. I don't know how you can believe in the Ravens, and I like Lamar Jackson a lot, but this has been a real kind of come-to-Jesus season for Lamar Jackson, where whatever opposing defenses are figuring out on film, he has not been able to solve that problem. And maybe this is kind of like you took one big leap forward last year, you take one step back this year, next year you figure it out. But this year is alarming from a Lamar Jackson standpoint.
Eddie, I just need to know, if you're watching at Watch DA or on Twitch, what was Rosie the Cat's reaction when you went Purple Nurple as the headline here for the Ravens conversation?
Rosie put up a paw for a high five. Meow. Nice job, Cat Dad.
So stupid.
You like Purple Nurple as the headline?
I do. Who doesn't love a good Purple Nurple pun? I love it.
Breaking down everything from the NFL's week number 11 coming up here next. Jeff Schwartz is going to join us here on the show. Good Morning Football panelist, NFL Network. You see him all over the place breaking down the NFL. We'll do that coming up next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Little wet, little drippy, 24/7.
Even with the comedy routine, if I'm stepping outside my thing and I'm going, oh, what do I got here? I'm going to have to preface it with going, they're going to hate it, but let them know that I know that they know they're going to hate it, and that's the way I go about it. I have always had self-confidence issues. It is part of the blubber in me.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It's part of the blubber in me. It's deep inside my soul. Written into the DNA code, the double helix of my blubber. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Having a home, that's hard work. Get a quote, geico.com. That's easy. Nebby tweets, alternate viewpoint on the Lions playing on Thanksgiving. Trash games of the afternoon are preferable. No family obligations or annoyances to pull you away from a good game. Save those for when you don't have to listen to Aunt Helen tell you about her bunions. I gotta say, everybody, don't tell my extended family. Don't tell. My extended family, my in-laws. But this COVID thing is great. It's the best excuse ever not to see these people. It's just awesome. Oh, no. We want to make it. Got to have a small thing. Yeah, real small Thanksgiving. Real intimate. Yeah, we're only going to have a few people over. You know what? What can you do? Coronavirus Thanksgiving. You know, well, we'll see you next year. 2021. We'll all get together. Big old. Use this excuse. Use this. Oh, yeah, you know, CDC says we shouldn't have gatherings of more than 10 people. We just got to keep it small. Aunt Helen, I'm so sorry. We really would love to have you over to talk about that bunion or the hair growing out of your face. But you know what? We're just going to keep this small. Everybody, take this opportunity. Take it. Run with it. Live your lives. You don't have to see anybody. Oh, it's great. It's just the best. DJ Tommy D tweets, DA, Mraz is drinking the Giants Gatorade. He even has Bob the Deli Man believing in these Giants. If I can calm down, I'm going to call into the show. I'm taking the Cowboys to win the division. I think they'll actually finish at 6-10 or 7-9. I could even see them getting to 7-9 because they have such winnable games down the stretch. Mraz is insistent that his Giants will win the division and says, this is not a homer pick. DJ Tommy D. Mraz doesn't believe you, calling you out on Giants Gatorade.
Life's too short. He's
a Cowboy fan, so isn't he drinking some kind of Gatorade and homer pick and everything like that?
Well, he didn't say the Cowboys are definitely going to win it. He just thinks that you're drinking the Gatorade. He might think that the Eagles would win it.
Look, I'm drinking the Gatorade, but I think my rationale was fine. And this is our poll question, who will win the NFC East, if you go to CBS Sports Radio on Twitter. But I think my rationale was fine. There is one team in this division that has played hard and played up to their bigger class and opponent, and that is the Giants. And they are the team trending upward right now, where I don't know that I could say the same for all those teams. Maybe the Cowboys are. Thanksgiving will tell. But how much of yesterday was just about the Vikings being who we thought they were at the beginning of the year?
They are who we thought they were. Well, you got to admit this. Cowboys are still the most talented team in the division.
Yes, except they're not better than the Giants at the quarterback position.
That's true.
It's still Andy Dalton sitting there. So, yeah. Guys, we're arguing over teams that are going to win six games. You know, it's not like I'm flexing that this is a great team.
But, boy, somebody's going to host a playoff game. Who is the best quarterback in the division right now?
I really think it's Daniel Jones.
Oh, God. Could it be?
Again, that's not a homer pick. That's process of elimination.
Could it be Dan Jones? You got Dan Jones, Alex Smith, Andy Dalton, Carson Wentz. Wentz right now is the worst out of the four.
Right.
I guess I would go Alex Smith 3.
Well, yeah, Smith 3. It's between Dalton and Jones right now.
Oh.
Again, this is not, you know, Mahomes.
Oh.
It's electric.
No, you're talking about the NFC West. Kyler Murray, Jared Goff, Russell Wilson. Oh,
that's not what we have cooking here.
This is dog food central. Andrew Bogish. Bogish has our headline this morning. Mr. Bogues, good morning.
DA, good morning. These headlines are sponsored by NHTSA. There's no such thing as a good excuse for not buckling up. Cops are writing tickets, so why take the risk? Click it or ticket. Somehow, last night's game-winning 22-yard TD to Travis Kelce is the first go-ahead touchdown pass with less than 2 minutes left in Patrick Mahomes' career. Andy Reid didn't need that specific accomplishment to love on his QB postgame.
I'd take him over everybody, and I'm lucky to have him. So as we are as a football team, as we are as a city, and I know we're all proud of him and the way he goes about his business. So and when you're behind, he can make things happen.
Mahomes' throw and then Daniel Sorensen's pick of Derek Carr got the Chiefs a 35-31 thriller in Vegas on Sunday Night Football. The game featured 7 lead changes, including what the Raiders thought was their winner, Carr to Jason Witten with 1:43 to go. KC goes home with a 5-game win streak and a 3-game lead on the Raiders now in the AFC West. Initial reports say a torn left ACL for Bengals QB Joe Burrow, but NFL Network says additional damage hasn't been ruled out just yet. The rookie hurt when multiple Washington players fell into his legs as he made a throw. Just terrible timing, says head coach Zach Taylor.
He's making improvements every week, and we were getting the offense head in a direction that we thought was exciting.
Ryan Finley came in and was not exciting. 3-for-10, 30 yards, and 1 interception. Washington won the game 29. The Packers now 0-2 against opponents with winning records when they met 34-31 losers in OT in Indy after leading by 14 at halftime. Marquez Valdez-Scantling fumbled to set up the game-ending field goal, and has been getting death threats on social media since because we all suck. Oh. Derrick Henry ran the Titans to a 30-24.
He also had an amazing catch to set up that game-tying field goal because while Aaron Rodgers, of course, is awesome throwing the deep ball, Valdes-Scantling has to come back for that ball, and it just passes over the Colts defensive back's fingertips. So he's looking through a crowded eyesight to get that ball and to haul it in at midfield. And had he not caught that ball, the Packers are toast anyway. Right. So, yeah, it's a bad job fumbling in overtime, bad ball security. But A, death threats are always so stupid when related to sports, and B, they don't even get to overtime if he doesn't make a great catch on that deep ball.
That he was their offense in the second half. That was it. Mm-hmm.
The L.A. Lakers adding some more depth. They reported a two-year deal with Marc Gasol. It's for the veterans minimum and requires the Lakers to do some salary cap gymnastics to make it all work. The Pac-12 has canceled this week's Washington-Washington State game because the Cougars have enough players they couldn't play this past weekend either. And Auburn men's basketball self-imposing a postseason ban for this year for former assistant Chuck Person's connection to that federal probe of recruiting bribery. The school, though, will not confirm if it has yet received a notice of allegations from the NCAA. DA, back to you.
Thank you, Bogues. Appreciate it. More tweets coming in as we will have Jeff Schwartz joining us here on the show in mere moments. This one is from Derek in Pittsburgh, who says, DA, after you talk about on air the rough grade that Moose gave your wife on the football food of the week, I can hear the 911 call from you now. The Bourbon Belle is going psychotic. She's bleeping, beating people up. Me and Rosie the Cat need help. Immediately. Yeah, you tell him, Cat Dad. So the Bourbon Belle gave us bacon wrap pickles over the weekend for Mraz's football food of the week. She pitched it to Mraz. Mraz used it because, of course, he's trying to do less work at this point in time, especially at this point of the calendar year. Did you make the bacon wrap pickles?
No, I don't eat pickles. I said it would be a food that I don't make her eat. It would be a waste. Instead, I had 30 White Castle burgers yesterday.
A suitcase?
Well, I didn't eat them all, but yeah, there was a suitcase, and I had about 10 of them.
Knowing how puffy they make you?
I'm very puffy this morning, DA. I abandoned the alcohol yesterday, went right for the burger sliders, and it is a grease problem for me this morning.
Well, joining us here on the show is somebody that can speak eloquently about a White Castle suitcase. Our friend Jeff Schwartz, NFL analyst. You hear him on SiriusXM. You see him on Good Morning Football as well occasionally on the NFL Network. Jeff, good morning.
How you guys doing today?
Well, I'm doing better than Mraz. He ate 30 White Castle burgers. Have you ever taken down a White Castle suitcase, which is what they call that box of burgers?
You know, I don't know if I've ever really lived in a place that was near White Castle. Like that's I don't think I've ever eaten at one. No, I'm sure I have. There was one on 17, I think, outside the Giants facility. I think I've had them before, but maybe like once. That was it.
Okay. So do you think you could put down an entire Crave case?
I mean, I think there's a question here. Are we talking about like college eating Jeff Schwartz? Would he eat like two burritos at 2 a.m. after drinking? Uh-huh. We're talking about like 34-year-old responsible Jeff Schwartz who doesn't eat like that anymore. College Jeff Schwartz, yes, that would be easy. Responsible, trying to lose weight, eat healthy Jeff Schwartz at 34, probably not. Okay. But I could, in the past, I could do it, yes.
Mraz swells up pretty good when he gets a high sodium intake. He gets puffy. He feels very puffy. Do you ever, or did you used to have that problem when you had the college Jeff Schwartz and his eating ability?
I have that problem now. I'm like a water buffalo, man. Like any salt that I have just sticks on my body. I gain like 5 pounds in a day just from water weight. Like I've always been that way. I mean, like that's not, you'd have to eat like 100,000 calories in a day to gain 5 pounds. I do not eat that much in a day. It's just water, man. Yeah, I swell up like the thing to do, opposite of what you think actually, is you drink a ton of water when you swell up and you just flush it all out. Opposite of what people think. People probably say, like, I'm not going to drink any water. I'm also going to drink more water, and it flushes your body out.
Jeff Schwartz joins us this morning on the show. You are so prolific tweeting on an NFL Sunday. I can never even catch up or keep up with all of them. But you will tweet something like 100 times over the course of a day just watching all of the games. And it's great because I go back and I read the stuff that I've missed. But yesterday you got a very interesting question. And it was, why does your wife still work? And you went over the financial responsibilities in your household.
Great. There's no financial responsibilities. It's just that she likes to work. I don't understand why that's a question. People ask me all the time, why does your wife work? Because she wants to. I don't know why it's her choice. She wants to work. Good for her. People on Twitter ask the weirdest stuff, man. Like, it's so, and then you know the thing about it, and this is what I just don't care, and is that, you know, people think because I have a blue check mark, I'm like, I'm not allowed to answer people back or like smack them down or whatever. Like, you come to me and you talk. Oh, guess what? I'm going to do it too. And people always think like my bosses care. They don't care at all. I don't cuss at you. I don't call you names. I don't disrespect you. Like, so why would my bosses care that I come back and clap back at some trolls?
No, I love it. It's really great. It's fun to watch. You're like, I don't know why my wife works, because she wants to work. What's it to you?
So yeah, like, it's just a weird thing, right? Like, why? Who cares?
We were just talking about this Colts and Packers game, and the Colts make the dramatic adjustments after halftime, and the Packers do not. What did that tell you about both coaching staffs?
Well, I think Frank Reich is fantastic. The Colts head coach. And here's the thing, man. I don't know if the Colts are good on offense still. Like, they're, you look at their numbers, they're like middle of the pack. You know, I've watched Philip Rivers for years out in the AFC West, played against him. My brother obviously played against him for years. He doesn't look like terribly good this year. I mean, he makes some great throws. Like, I don't know what to make of their offense. Defensively, though, they're really good. And they made a lot of adjustments in the second half to pressure Rodgers, to force some turnovers, to be more aggressive. The end of game situation, I got to go back and watch it, because I was putting my kids to bed at that time. So I saw like overtime, but I didn't see a bunch of, there was like seven holdings in a row. I felt like on the Colts offense. It was just a weird end of game, but look, the Colts and the Packers both need to show to us and to themselves, I think too, they could win a game like this, right? Cause the Colts, you know, they beat the Titans. Yes, but they don't really have another signature win. Who's the Packers signature win this so far this season? Do they have one? Not now. So both had to kind of prove they could win a game like this, and credit the Colts. They did a great job. They forced a turnover in overtime, went down, kicked the game-winning field goal. Blankenship with his rec specs knocking that kick home. I love that kid, man. I showed my wife a picture of him. I'm like, look, babe, he's wearing the rec specs. He's a little cutie pie, isn't he? It was adorable.
Jeff Schwartz joining us this morning here on the show. If the Ravens can't beat the Steelers, the Chiefs, the Titans, and the Patriots on their schedule, do we have any faith that they even belong in the playoffs?
If they lose Thursday, there'll be 6-6, and they might not be in the playoffs.
Six and five.
If they lose this weekend, they'll be 6-5. Yes, they'll be 6-5. I don't know, man. It's interesting. Their defense is still good, but they're missing Calais Campbell, and they've been the rush defense is remarkably worse, like a yard and a half more allowed on the ground without Calais Campbell. So hopefully he's back. So he will not be back for Thursday's game. But offensively, and this is my concern with the offensive Ravens have running. It's what I said for years, and I was wrong last year, obviously, Lamar with MVP, but I think I'm going to be right in the long run, and that, you know, this type of offense just doesn't work in the long term. It's too simple. It's not complex enough. They don't pass the ball down the field enough. And then you get a couple injuries on the offensive line, and you can't function anymore. And that's what's happening with them, is they're predictable. They don't throw outside the numbers. And they know this, too. They just refuse to throw outside the numbers. And then you have injuries start pile up on the offensive line. They bench their center, and they're just not as good offensively anymore. And then, you know, defensively, they're supposed to kind of live with that. And Tennessee came back, you know, from at least one touchdown down, right? They were down 10, I believe, in the fourth quarter at some point. Or maybe it was 12. Came all the way back and obviously won in overtime. And Derrick Henry, you know, rips off a 22-yard run to win. So, you know, it's credit to the Titans. That was a big win. They need that win because they get Indy again this weekend.
Well, I think that would be surprising for some people to hear that the Ravens offense is too simplistic, because last year we're watching Lamar Jackson buzz through every defense, throw these beautiful long passes for touchdowns, break huge plays on the ground. How could they be so successful last year creating big plays and yet be so simple?
Well, so here's the thing, though, is that look at the games they did that against. Look at the teams they did not. They did not do that against Pittsburgh. Now, they beat them twice. I believe they beat them twice, maybe once. But nonetheless, they didn't really break on Pittsburgh. They didn't play well against the Chiefs in the regular season again. And so the better teams they weren't beating, right? And then Tennessee obviously comes into Baltimore and beats them in the playoffs. So they took advantage of bad defenses. But look, it takes some time to figure out exactly what the offense is, right? And you had an entire offseason. This is why NFL coaches are so good. So I get paid a lot of money. It's why you have to keep evolving and adapting, right? We see the best offense in the NFL, even the Chiefs and the Saints and whatnot, they keep adding plays and putting in wrinkles and doing different things, because teams spend the entire offseason looking at that film, and they've charted every single play. They have written down everything that, you know, they're doing, who pulling, if they're in this formation, where are they going? They're doing this. You know, they study the Titans film from the playoff game, and teams have better plans for this team. They realize that the Ravens are going to throw a majority of their passes between the hash marks, between the numbers. We're going to pack that box in. We're going to let them try to beat us on the edge. So all this stuff happens in the offseason of film study. And then you mentioned, you know, I mentioned then the injuries on the offensive line, right? So now just offensive line-wise, you're just not as good rushing the football. So now you're in more third-down situations where you're not really good at. And so this kind of just compounds itself over and over again to where you see this season. Now, I didn't think they'd be this bad this year. I think they would pull back a little bit. But they have to decide this offseason, man. Are we doing this again? Are we going to expand our playbook? And maybe the short offseason with COVID kind of denied them the opportunity to really work on a more explosive pass game. I was listening to some – who was it? Greg Cassell. It was someone who said, like, look, the Ravens have four pass concepts. Like, that's all they do. They just repeat the four of them over and over and over again. It's almost like an air raid offense. And you can't do that in the NFL. The NFL is too complicated. It's too complex. These guys know what they're doing. And that's the problem. And they're just not multiple enough.
Mm. That's really interesting. Jeff Schwartz joining us this morning on the show. Are you a believer in Taysom Hill being a starting quarterback after what you watched yesterday?
I don't know, man. I thought they would play well, because the first game with a quarterback like Taysom Hill, it's really tough for the defense. But I don't think, like, is he viable as far as winning playoff games? No. Can you win a regular season game? Sure. I mean, I think the standard for the Saints is like, what do we want to do? Do we want to win regular season games or win playoff games? That was not a playoff game performance yesterday, right? He threw the worst deep pass I've ever seen in my life. It was completed, though, which, again, it's important to watch games sometimes. It's not just look in the box score. The real winner yesterday for the Saints was that defense. Man, the defense was outstanding. They had 9 sacks, I think, on Matt Ryan. That probably didn't even do him justice. They should have had more. They were great yesterday. And so, you know, if you're in a high-scoring game, you know, are you going to keep up with a team with Taysom Hill? Probably not. If this is the game you're going to play where you can run the football, you can be judicious with the shots you take with Taysom Hill, yes, they can win this way. It reminded me a lot of kind of the way they won with Bridgewater, a little different offensive structure, though. But if you win like that, sure. But if you're going to play the Chiefs, or you're going to play – and I know they play well against the Bucs so far. But if you're going to play some of these teams, the Packers, that can really push the ball downfield and will stress your defense, then I think you need a more explosive offense.
Jeff Schwartz joining us this morning on the show. You also hear him as part of Pac-12 Today on SiriusXM. Before I let you go, about a minute left, what's been your number one takeaway from the games that have been played in the Pac-12 college football-wise this year?
We don't have a playoff team, right? It's okay. We have a short season. I'm not surprised. USC is a little underwhelming as usual. Their coaching staff, I don't think, is that great. You know, Oregon finally looked like a new offense last weekend, right? They have a new quarterback, 5 new offensive linemen. I mean, it looked like a team that has a new offense, and by the way, also has a lot of new parts on defense. And Washington looked good in week 2, but it's just disjointed, man. I mean, I'm so happy that we have football back out west. I view this, I've seen this on my Pac-12 radio show, that I almost view this like extended spring ball with games, right? Like, this is just, in my opinion, at least for Oregon, went to Oregon, and I know that program the best. Like, this is a year where you just set up for 2021. Like, you put your offense in, you rotate guys, which they're doing everywhere. They're rotating defenders, rotating offensive linemen, rotating wide receivers, and you just kind of get a good base this year. And then 2021 is when you attack, you know, to be a national title contender. USC doesn't have that luxury. USC has a roster right now that has a lot of guys, especially on offense, that will be drafted next year. So they kind of have to win now. Oregon doesn't have to. And same with Washington. Washington's young. They'll have next season as well. So just kind of a year to just get the pieces rolling. There's a lot of new coaches out west, and get ready I hope, and I think everyone's on the same page here, we'll get a full 2021 football season.
Excellent stuff as always. Jeff Schwartz. Check out his podcast, Jeff Schwartz is Smarter Than You. See him on Good Day, Good Morning Football every so often on NFL Network. Hear him on Sirius XM Radio as well, and he joins us this morning on the show. Jeff, always good stuff, buddy. Thanks so much, man.
Take care, bud.
You too. When we come back, it's a momentous Monday inspirational sports story. Next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Smiling like Little Mo every morning. It's a momentous Monday.
Every day can be a better day despite the challenge. All you gotta do is leave it better than you found it. It's gonna get difficult to stand, but hold your balance. I just say whatever, cause there is no way you're around it.
I just think people should know that if you stay positive, everything will be fine. You just eat, drink, and breathe positive thoughts. That's all you gotta do, and everything will be good.
So cool to see ESPN do a profile on Little Mo and his legacy on ESPN's NFL pregame show yesterday. I tweeted out that entire video if you want to watch that. My Twitter handle is DA on CBS. I want to introduce you to Stephen Ludwig, who is suffering from Maffucci's disease. Only 115 known cases of this disease, but it causes abnormal bone growth. He's had over 22 surgeries. He battled cancer, leukemia, and it's all because his skeleton grows in abnormal ways, but he has worked on basketball. He loves basketball his entire life. He is now a senior in college at UNC Chapel Hill. And with this disease, he wears a 9-inch lift on his left leg because his left leg is much shorter than his right leg. He stands at about 5'1". But he has worked on his jumper. He's worked on his handle. He's worked on his dribbling. And he plays pickup and rec basketball all the time against people much older than him or full strength, full size, etc. And Stephen Ludwig, once upon a time, through Make-A-Wish, because they gave him an 11% chance to live, had a Make-A-Wish to go to the NBA All-Star Game in 07 where he met Kobe Bryant. And full circle, Stephen Ludwig wants to be able to play in the NBA Celebrity Game. Here's Stephen from his Instagram.
Yo, what's up, you guys? It's Steve-O. Please take a second to hear me out. I have a huge favor to ask you. I don't even know if it's possible. But like many other kids around the world, my dream growing up was to be in the NBA. Unfortunately, I have a bone disease. I battle leukemia, thyroid cancer, graft-versus-host disease, and 22 surgeries. But besides all that, I legit thought I was going to be in the NBA. So after beating leukemia, I used my Make-A-Wish to go to the NBA All-Star Game in Las Vegas. That was the closest thing I would ever become to being an NBA player, or so I thought. My dream now is to inspire the world. Hear me out. Imagine seeing me in the 2021 Celebrity All-Star Game. I'm not a celebrity by any means, trust me, I know. But seeing me out on the basketball court with a short leg, short arm, doing what I love the most, will help motivate people all across the world. And for all you doubters, trust me, I'll be able to hold my own as I heard.
It's pretty cool to watch his videos on Instagram. He's got millions of followers on TikTok. People are inspired by his story. He's got an amazing attitude, and that was always the lesson of Little Mo, man. Your situation doesn't dictate your attitude. Your circumstances don't dictate your attitude. You dictate your own attitude. And Stephen Ludwig, Steve-O, as he's known by his friends and buddies and pals, is one of those guys, one of those people that does not let his circumstances dictate his happiness. He is an amazing, amazing guy, and I would love to see this happen, to see Stephen, who has a 9-inch lift on his left leg because it's that much shorter than his right leg because of abnormal bone growth, and a shorter arm as well. He can drop some threes. He's got a good outside shot. He can drive. He's got good handle. So it's been pretty cool to watch. You can check him out on many social media platforms and read about him. Stephen Ludwig, a.k.a. Steve-O, who deals with Maffucci's disease, is your inspirational, momentous person on a momentous Monday today. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. And think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices. It is an Ask the Pros day here on the DA Show.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.